and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Shining Care is proud to present It Takes a Community to Keep Our Seniors Safe Symposium with keynote speaker Paul Greenwood. Join us June 5th, 8 to 4 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino, free to the public with lunch. There'll be speakers, resource exhibits, and a panel of experts to take your questions. Seating is limited. Registration required at shiningcare.org/upcoming events. The free Keep Our Elders Safe Symposium is sponsored by PSA2, Passages, Ready Rancheria, and My Umbrella Marketing.
Kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
In your soul.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. How you doing? This is Terry Raposa, broadcasting live from the studios downtown Reading, KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Waiting for Wynn Carpenter, who had some car trouble, and I told him not to speed here because if he did, he might get a ticket. If he gets a ticket, we all know how much fun that is. You got to pay for the ticket, do the driving school, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just not fun for anybody. So I am here this morning with Sue.
Good morning.
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing wonderful. Hey, what about that tornado scare?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We took pictures of that on Friday night. We actually stood out there and took pictures of it on Friday, and it was really something. The eye of the tornado was right over our house. It was kind of fun. My wife was saying, well, gee, why don't we get some lawn chairs? And I said, wait a second. Didn't you ever see Twister?
Exactly. Everybody's out there taking selfies.
Yeah, really.
And then here it touches down. I'm thinking, what?
Wynn Carpenter had the funniest photo. What he did is he had a bathtub and he put his two dogs in it with bicycle helmets on them.
Oh,
that's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, good morning, everyone. It's kind of fun, you know. What I like is people who talk about the weather at the very beginning of programs. That was fun. That was good.
Okay.
But they talk about the weather, and I have my own weather barometer. I look outside at the sidewalk. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's not, it's dry. So, anyway, yeah, I want to make a couple of announcements here first, and I'd like everybody to pay attention to this one because I think that it's, especially here in the Reading area, we have a very good event coming up. It's May 27th at 6 p.m., the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at 11800 Gas Point Road in Igo, California, and the Northern California Veterans Cemetery Support Board requests the honor of your presence. They will be honoring those who have served and are serving. Keynote speaker will be Adam McElvain, who's on the board of, the City Council of Reading, and he is also a veteran of the United States Air Force. And I think that this is really going to be something that would be great for folks to attend. This is a special weekend, and not just for barbecues, not for hot dogs or hamburgers, but for all the great people that have gone before and given the ultimate sacrifice and the folks out there that are serving our country right now. No one better, in my opinion. No one who deserves our respect, our honor, and our love more than them. Anyway, looks like Wynn's wandering in. No ticket, huh, buddy? No, he's shaking his head. No. Okay, no ticket. That's good. So this morning, we're going to first of all announce that there is no meeting, Patriot meeting tomorrow night. It is a holiday, and we're sort of taking the day off. Folks will be traveling, et cetera, or just getting back from travel. So anyway, with that, it looks to me like my partner's getting ready here. He's got headphones on. He's got his hat on. He's got his microphone. What say you, sir?
Good morning. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Car trouble.
It happens, buddy.
Yep.
You know, I'm just happy you didn't get a ticket.
Oh, no, no. Oh. I don't want to contribute to the unfunded liability.
Well, you know,
don't want to help them dig it out.
It's really no fun for anybody. I know. It's tough. You know, it's the driving school part that's a bummer. Either go or you do it online. And, you know, what you need to do is just pay attention. But, you know, I did notice that the red lights, I know this is kind of off the subject, but the red light camera on Hilltop, hey, folks, there in the city or whoever does it, you need to calibrate those things.
Yeah.
They're going off all over the place. I mean, the cameras are going off. There's green lights, and people are driving through it. The cameras are going off.
I noticed that. I noticed that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went through there, and it was green, and I was in the middle of the crowd.
Right.
And going through, and it was green, and it was going off. Was
like, oh, yeah.
Do you slam on your brakes? I get rear end because the damn light goes off or camera. I was like, great.
So anyway, calibration, I know, isn't the police department, so let's not blame them for it. Somebody else does calibration on those. And
somebody makes a decision.
Somebody passes the buck to somebody.
That's right. They need to fix it.
But whoever calibrates it, you need to calibrate it.
Do it right.
Yeah, that's a good defense against those things anyway.
I guess so.
It is.
Smile.
So, anyway, Wynn, what's new with you and what's new with Jefferson?
Well, I heard you on the radio when you were talking about the twister and the dogs and the bathtub stuff. And that was
hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. There were a lot of good pictures out there. People were taking some beautiful photos of, you know, the sky, you know, in all various forms, you know, what was going on with it and the hail and everything else. And we collected some of those hailstones that were about a little bit bigger than a golf ball and put them in our freezer. We're going to take them out in July as a general reminder of what we're going through. If we ever, you know, we get to July, that's, you know, not like what we're experiencing right now. Who knows what's going to be happening?
Well, you know, the newspaper we have here is really, okay, we got the picture of the quote, almost tornado. Today, it's Sunday. It happened Friday. The record searchlight's always so far behind.
Oh, that's current. It's the same week.
It's the same week. Yeah.
For a
it's
daily newspaper.
I, I know, it's like the record searchlight. Flash, the Dodgers have moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, good grief. That, you know, the thing, that paper comes out, and it's got, like, stuff that's 2 days old. I mean, you're looking at, like, you know, well, what happened with the ball games? Well, let's see. Well, Minnesota played Chicago late, you know, a couple of nights ago, so we'll get that score on Tuesday. Good grief. It's just, I'm telling you, folks, you know,
they're struggling.
They are, you know, but really and truly, I mean, you know, you go up there, you try to talk to somebody, they have one person in that building, and it's just.
In that huge building?
That huge building, yeah. Just, it's,
holy cow.
It's just horrible. I don't even know why they bother. A long time ago, somebody said we needed two newspapers in this town. All we need now is just one. But anyway, I digress. What we need to do today, I think, is talk a little bit more about what's going on with the court case. I think that that's a very important thing to talk about, only because it seems as if we're looking at where should our priorities be and what's real and what's not. You know, we have other movements that are out there that aren't doing anything that really is real. The court case is real. It's, and the reasoning for it is everyone who is involved with Jefferson knows or should know. And that is that we've tried every branch. We tried the legislative branch. Nobody paid attention. We tried the executive branch. They wouldn't pay attention. So we went to the judicial branch. And the purpose of the court case is to Our purpose is to increase lack of representation and dilution of vote. Increase representation because of the lack of representation and dilution of vote.
You scared me there for a second.
I know, I'm sorry. It's early. I'm really not awake today. And so, you know, that's what the aim of the court case is. And, of course, our ultimate goal is to have a new state because California is just too big to govern. If we had adequate representation in both the Assembly and the Senate, we'd probably have 10,000 guys and gals down there, and that doesn't include their staffs. So, you know, when we look at all this, we've got to understand why we're doing this, to push the court system into saying, yeah, you know, this is Article 4, Section 4, United States Constitution. We're supposed to have a Republican form of government. We don't have that because we don't have access to our representatives. You can't have a senator for every million people or an assemblyman for every 500,000. And I think the importance of that now, with the legal team and the increase in the legal team that we've had with Judge Kaczynski and with the positions that we're taking in court, and I know that they're doing some research, some interesting research now.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, we need to start focusing. We need to raise money for that court case. We need to raise money for the court case because it's real. We need to raise money for the court case because we have attorneys that now believe that we can get in there and we have a good shot at winning this thing. Now,
well, our attorneys have always believed that.
Well, and the amazing thing is that Judge Kaczynski now believes it.
Right, and he's new to the team as far as being that part of it. Yeah, and with his impact and knowledge, information, experience, and connections, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And since we were in baseball mode just a little bit ago, it's like getting Barry Bonds or Willie Mays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe Bumgarner. Anyway, with that, what we're going to do is we'll be going off to our first break. And we'll be handing off there. I know the phone's ringing, but we will go off to the first break. And here we go. Time has come.
4:51.
Kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache. His voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally the time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit soj51.net to show your support.
A jewel of the North States, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is our home. We protect our own. Now hear our battle cry.
She's always a narrator. We must be back. We're having computer problems here on our end, so we want to apologize. Poor Sue is in there trying to get this archaic system back up and running. So go to it, Sue. Have a good time.
Easy for you to say, huh?
In the meantime,
we do have Mark Barrett on one line, and we have Janet Chandler on the other line, and we just got music. I guess you guys have your own intros.
No.
No, we got a lot of stuff going on.
We've got ghosts in the studio.
Poor baby. She's trying to talk to us, and we can't hear her. She's talking to herself, but you got to. Hey, Mark, what say you, sir?
I say good morning, happy Memorial Day, which, by the way, was first known as Decoration Day, and that was the widows of Confederate Civil War dead going out and decorating the graves of their husbands and brothers and sons and family members. And then there was a United States general who issued a general order, I believe it was in the 20s or 30s, I can't remember, that changed the name to Memorial Day, and this is the day that we honor all of America's dead in all of America's wars. Mm-hmm. And remember, Confederate soldiers were entitled to that memorial as well, because as the war told us, they were Americans at the time. So I just want to remind people that this isn't barbecue day. This isn't watch TV sports day. This that doesn't sacrifice your dignity on the altar of drugs, games, video games, sports, and every other kind of indulgence. This is a day where we honor people who gave their last full measure in the cause of liberty. And as soldiers will, no one asked them. No one had to wake them up at 6 in the morning. No one had to demand that they show up for the battle. No one had to tell them to sacrifice their lives. They just did it. No one coerced them. No one paid them extra. They didn't get any prizes. They didn't get any extra consideration for dying. They didn't, they weren't forced in most cases to do it. Their parents didn't have to give them special privileges. Their community, their school, they didn't get any ribbons. They didn't get anything but a simple marker in the ground. And they never saw their families or their loved ones again. And all of that sacrifice was in pursuit of the liberty that we hold most dear, the inalienable rights given us by our fathers and our forefathers. So when I talk to you today, I want to talk to you as a soldier of one kind or another. And you don't have to be a soldier in the military. You can be a soldier in a cause. You can be a soldier for liberty. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to achieve liberty, nothing less. This isn't a game to me. For years and years and years, and even before Jefferson, the soldiers of Scott Valley Protect Our Water have been fighting to protect our liberty and our property rights. The soldiers of the Tea Party have been trying to fight to protect their liberty. Are we now in a place where, well, if I don't get an email, I'm not going to show up? Or if someone doesn't call me, or if someone doesn't text me, or if I don't get a little prize, or if I don't get recognition, or if I'm not one of the important people, then my contribution isn't worthwhile? Are we at a place where the soldiers of liberty don't even have to show up and vote? You know, we're going to have a special election for State Senate 1 coming up. And typically these special elections, nobody shows up. You know, is it something that, well, you know, that's not that important, so I just won't show up? I mean, there were, I can think of many battles where, you know, or what's the saying, for want of a nail, the battle was lost, and for want of a bolt, the ship was lost. You know, just, to me, this day is very special to me because my friends and brothers are buried all over the world, and they can't vote, and they can't participate. And they can't show up anymore because one day they showed up and that was their last day on earth. And I just want to suggest to people that if you fail in the cause of liberty, and Thomas Paine said it best, it's the summer soldier in the sunshine patriot that shrinks from the service of his country. And those that stand with us now deserve the thanks of men and women. And these are the times to try men's souls. I mean, this is nothing in California. This is nothing less than a fight for survival, especially in the rural counties. I was looking at a study this morning about how rural counties lose an average of 250 businesses each year. And, you know, in the 1850s, people were flooding into California, and now people are fleeing California with reckless abandon. Why? Why are they leaving California? Because this is the golden state, because this is the state that represents freedom and economic opportunity and a good place to raise your children? Is that why everybody's leaving? I mean, or are they leaving because there's so much poop on the streets that they just don't want to smell it anymore? Are they leaving because they don't even have any liberty with their property? Are they leaving because the dollar that they earn belongs to the socialist government of California and you get to keep the 10 cents that the government thinks you can live on? Are you leaving because you pay a buck more a gallon in gasoline? Are you leaving because the border with Mexico is open and the drug cartels are flooding in and illegal aliens and MS-13 and illegals are allowed to kill our citizens and the state government does nothing about it except compliment them for wanting a better life at your expense, at the expense of your life and your property? So what kind of soldier are you? What kind of soldier are you today? What kind of soldier are you every day? I mean, can we count on you to show up or not? Can we count on you to help us fund this court case? Because the court case is our last legal, moral, ethical path to liberty before we seek self-help. would you be willing to seek self-help? In other words, if you sit there on your duff at home watching TV sports instead of showing up to things and helping us pay for things and helping us get things done, and we lose the court case, are you willing to show up when we try to go for self-help? Would you be any use to us in self-help? Or would it be the same 10 people that show up to Sacramento with their flags every time we go when hundreds of thousands of people are oppressed in this state and hundreds of thousands of people are leaving? I mean, you know, is this a test, folks? Yeah, to tell you the truth, it is. And I'm just kind of curious. What kind of soul are you? Can you skip past the memorial graveyard in your city where thousands of men lie in graves that where they lost their lives in on foreign soil, and can you skip past that graveyard and not even by your leave to your own liberty and the liberty of your children and grandchildren? Or do we honor those men by remaining soldiers in our fight for liberty? Can you set your own clock? Can you show up where you're needed? Can you support when you can afford to? Can you demonstrate? Can you make phone calls? Can you send a stupid email every day to a legislator? I mean, can you do any of those things? Or are the hundred of us or the thousand of us that are doing all the work, are we wasting our time? And that's my question for you on this Decoration Day.
Well, Mark, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your service, sir. Mark is definitely walks the walk, talks the talk. And talking about walking the walk and talking the talk, and basically the bottom line we know is representation. We have Janet Chandler on the other line. I want to keep you both on the call here. Janet's going to be talking about the Real First article, and somebody needs to mute their phone, talking about the Real First article of the, excuse me, the First Amendment of the Constitution. And she's going to be talking about that. We're going to have her talk a little bit this week, a little bit next week. We're going to be sort of doing this for a little bit. But, Mark, I want you on the phone, too, so that you can sort of articulate and chime in as Janet gives a bit of a presentation on Articles the First. How are you, my dear?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good morning, Janet.
And now you want me to talk? Is that it?
Yeah, I do. I want you to talk a little bit, and then we're going to...
I never know just when you expect me to jump in and take over. Okay, we've been talking about representation. We call it the silver bullet, and it has ever been that way. From the beginning of our country, representation was the most important thing that our founding fathers talked about. We have a government in which we have three branches of power, and they are co-equal. But only one of them represents the people, and that is the legislative branch. The legislative branch is actually the one place where democracy comes in. We elect those representatives in a democratic fashion by a direct vote of the people. The president is elected by an electoral college, and the judiciary is not elected at all. They are appointed with the approval of the Senate. Now, the legislative branch didn't start out to be direct democracy. The Senate was elected by the states themselves, and that was their representative. So the House of Representatives is our only direct control of our government. Representation, it says it all. And Article the First was there to make sure that we had that direct representation. Our Constitution was at risk of not being ratified unless the people had direct representation. And as we have talked so many times in the state of Jefferson, that direct representation comes by having an adequate number of representatives for the people. And right now, at all levels of government, we do not have adequate representation. In the state of California, we have one senator for every 1 million people. We have one assemblyman for every 500,000 people. And even in the federal legislature, we have one representative for about every 750,000 people. Just try to make an appointment to go see your representative with those kind of numbers. It's not possible.
You know, Janet, I'd like Mark to weigh on this a little bit. And another thing, too, folks, we want to go ahead and we want to have Janet on, probably much to her chagrin, because I know that 9 o'clock for Janet Chandler is early. You're supposed to laugh at that.
The alarm.
The secret's out. And but anyway, we're going to have Janet on probably quite a few times over the next month or so, along with Mark, so we can go ahead and talk about this representation issue. And Mark's right. The court case is the premier real thing we have going now, and it's about representation. So, Mark, any comments on what Janet has said so far?
Well, I mean, my comment is she's absolutely right. You know, how can a person, how can a so-called representative who stands in front of a million people and looks at those people and says, I care what happens to you and I care what you think, how can that person be telling the truth? I mean, if they were simply to, if each person in their district were simply to call them on the telephone once a year, they would only be able to spend about 1 second on the phone with each caller, and that takes into account their vacations, their myriad of holidays, their times that they don't show up to work, and their times that they won't answer the phone, couldn't answer the phone, they never answer the phone anyway. I mean, so Janet's right. Do we have a constitutional republic? This is the question, and I would like all of you soldiers out there to contemplate that. Do we have a constitutional republic, or do we have an oligarchy where 120 people sit there and dictate to 38, or closer to 40 million people? Is that the world you want to live in? Because if it is, welcome to California. And look at the stupidity that comes out of that house, and no one can stop it. No voice, there is no voice of reason among the million. I mean, it would have to be a quarter million people would have to stand up simultaneously and say, that's stupid. But you have things that come out of that house. You know, here we are with a porous open border where illegal aliens are murdering our own citizens, and they're not even really suffering the consequences for this in many cases. But yet, your waitress will go to jail if she gives you a plastic straw without you asking for it. Really?
Yeah, it's insane.
We have things like the sustainable groundwater management rule. The state hasn't built any water storage since 1990 or 95 or so. We haven't built any new water storage in decades, and yet the state wants your county to assure them that any groundwater pumps will be replaced in other words, they're not in an overdraft situation. Well, gee, folks, here's some simple arithmetic for you. Guess what a reservoir is? It's a groundwater recharge mechanism, because water perks into the ground and it goes into the water table. I mean, we have plenty of water in California. We just don't store any of it because we're afraid the snail darter might suffer from that. And quite frankly, once the reservoir is full and the water goes downstream, there's as much water in the river as there was before. The only time the river suffers is when it's filling the reservoir, and once the reservoir is full, then the water in the stream goes back to what it was before. You know, there is so much stupid corruption and graft and greed and payola going on in Sacramento. I'm surprised everybody in this state doesn't stand up and revolt. I'm actually amazed at that every single day, that the people of this state allow that kind of stupidity under the guise of adequate representation.
Exactly, and I think that you hit the nail on the head. And with that, we want to go ahead and go to Janet here. The original amendments were called articles, and the subject we're on is representation. We know what a mess California is, but we're talking about representation, and the founders understood that. And there was something called Articles the First, and I'm going to have Janet explain that, what that is, because everything that these two are talking about is spot on. It's all about representation. It always has been, and the founders knew that. So she's going to give a little bit of background on Articles the First.
Right.
During the writing of the Constitution and immediately thereafter, the people were concerned that we did not have rights. And, of course, that's where our Bill of Rights came from. Some states said they would not ratify. Some were hesitant to ratify unless these rights were spelled out. And the first, foremost, and most important right of concern to them was that right of representation and what was going to happen to the House of Representatives. So Article the First was the first proposed amendment, And it said, in essence, that as the country grew, the number of people in the House of Representatives would also grow to accommodate them. And there were several different proposals. They had so many people would have to be in the country, and then the legislative branch would grow by an appropriate number. And it was not clear exactly how they were going to do it, but several proposals were given. But that was the most important thing, that they have representation. And there were some states who said, we will not vote for this Constitution unless we get a proportional increase in the House according to the population. So that was the proposal of Article the First. Representation was so important to our founders that they thought of that first when they talked about changing the Constitution. We always talk about the freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, petition. But somehow along the way, Article the First and representation got lost. It got shuffled in paperwork. In some cases, it was purposely hidden and ignored. And in the forming of our country, we did not get Article the First.
And now, Thomas Jefferson had a little bit of something to do with this too, Janet. You want to expand on that a bit?
He was Secretary of State at the time, and he kept track of the ratification of the proposals for the amendments. And we have his documentation, his chart, his graph, showing which states were involved and which amendments were approved. Now, the problem is, at the time, they didn't have computers. They had very little contact. If you wanted to talk to somebody, you had to ride a horse. You had to send a message by horseback or coach to get it to them. We had a process in the Constitution for ratification and for amending, but nowhere in there does it give any information on how you are supposed to report that you have ratified an amendment, and therein lay the problem. States actually ratified Article the First, and we have proof of that because Thomas Jefferson kept track. But they didn't report to anybody in particular that they had ratified. But since the rules didn't say they had to report to anyone, just the ratification itself became official. But if you've turned 95 years old, but nobody knows you're 95 years old, does anybody care? Well, that was how it was with Article the First. It was ratified, it was official, but nobody knew.
Janet,
and that's why we don't have Article the First today, is that nobody knew.
What states or how many states ratified that? Do you remember?
Well, it was kind of a sliding thing. We started out with 13 states, and at one point we did have 3/4 of those states ratify. And then we picked up Kentucky, and as we kept getting more and more states, they would ratify all of the amendments, including Article the First. And every time a new state came on, we actually got ratification of 3/4 for Article the First. So I think 3 times it was officially ratified. It's just that nobody knew. And there were some times when it was actually hidden. The information was not disseminated when it could have been. Now, here's one of the problems. The wording in Article the First was vague because it had gone through 2 or 3 House proposals. It had gone through a Senate proposal, and there was a Scrivener's error, an error in copying, and they changed the wording from less to more, more to less. It was a mistake. It didn't mean what they meant it to mean. And there were some states that didn't want to ratify it because it was vague. So for many reasons, for communication problems, for some states who didn't like it because it wasn't clear enough, for a variety of reasons, we did not get Article the First noticed, even though it was, by Thomas Jefferson's own chart, ratified.
Now, let's fast forward to 2017 when we filed a court case for what? Lack of representation and dilution of vote. And, Mark, we can tie all this together. Let's talk a little bit more about the court case and where we go from here and what the position is as far as, well, sort of the link between Articles the First, the Constitution, and in its present form, and the court case.
Well, I think, first of all, it's really important to note that Thomas Paine said that in common sense, he said the first legislature should be held under a tree, the branches of a big oak tree. Everybody comes and says what they want. But as the colony grows, representation must necessarily grow so that all parts of the colonies remain represented, and so that the elected official never adopts a separate agenda from those who elect him. In other words, representation was always meant to grow with population so that the districts would be small enough and those represented by an elected representative would be of such a ratio that the person that we elect would always, by necessity, care what the people who voted for him thought. In other words, he would not have his own agenda. His agenda would be that of the people who elected him. And one thing about a representative, once you elect him, the guy can do whatever he wants. That's what constitutional republic means. So you have to make sure that you elect someone that cares what you think. And when the district is so big, well, why should he care? What could you do about it even if he didn't care? How would you even know? I mean, how would you know that he's not taking money from every lobbyist that walks in the door because it takes millions of dollars to be elected to one of those positions because the district is so large? So what I'd like Janet to clarify is Article the First had a very specific intent, and that was that the body of Congress will grow as the population of the United States grows until I believe it would be at 1 for 50,000 would be the top number. 1 for 50,000. Think about that. And then in the progressive era, when the socialists began to take over our country under Woodrow Wilson, the number of congressmen was capped at 435. So how does that work? What that could mean is someday, although it says 435, that no state shall have less than one. But we already have states like Wyoming that only have one congressman. And they're marginally population-wise even entitled to one congressman. Because I think one congressional member represents about 735,000 people right now. Literally, we in the state of California have better representation in Congress at 1 for 735 than we do in our own state Senate at 1 for 1,000,000. So Article the First was very important because it would have set a judicial standard which recognizes that under the inalienable rights, because Article the First would have been the First Amendment instead of free speech, free press, free religion, assembly, and redress, Article the First would have been, and it would have set the standard that as population grows, representation must grow. And I can guarantee you that the oligarchs are firmly in charge, and that is never going to change unless we, the people, stand up in mass and make a change. And I submit to you, under the progressive education system, where socialism and now Mao is a hero, and Stalin's a hero, and Castro's a hero, and Che Guevara, instead of a murdering pedophile, he's a hero now, too. People wear his T-shirts all the time. I guarantee you that we have already lost this liberty, and we will never get that changed without a mass uprising, and that uprising is impossible because of the educational system. Therefore, our only hope is to create the state of Jefferson where we can reconstitute liberty and stand on that bastion of liberty and teach other states how we did it until we can reform the education system in the greater United States and take back the Constitution for our own.
You know, we're going to go off here to our final break. I skipped the break on purpose because I'm not really sure what the computer is going to do to us. And I certainly think this dialogue is very important. And I think this is the beginning of some dialogue that we're going to be having over the next couple of weeks with Mark and Janet. Also, Wynn, you've got an announcement to make as far as helping with the court case, folks. We need money for it.
Absolutely. If people don't know, but I'll just reiterate, where you can send the money, you can go online to soj51.org, check out the website, and on the front page it tells you how to donate if you want to donate online through PayPal or GoFundMe. Either one is an option. Or you can mail checks, cash, or money orders to P.O. Box 751, Palo Cedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, California 96073. And you can just make the checks out to SOJ, and we can go from there.
And Janet and Mark, if you'd hold on, we're going to go off to our final break because time has come.
For 51.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover on, it took away my breath. What she called a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net and donate now to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Reading Dance Center presents the full ballet production of Firebird, as well as a featured medley of jazz, tap, and modern pieces titled Let It Move You on Saturday, June 8th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Watch good prevail against evil in this powerful Russian classic. Come for an exciting evening filled with beautiful music, talented dancers, and a wonderful storyline enhanced by professional costumes and sets. The matinee is at 1 and the evening performance is at 7. Tickets can be purchased at readingcivic.com. Bring your family and friends for a delightful encounter with music and dance.
It's the guts and it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Beautiful song. I love that. Very
great
good.
Song.
Very good. Okay, now that we're back, before we get back to Mark and Janet, I just want to let people know, too, there are another options, too, as far as when you send in donations. If you want your donations to be tax deductible and you want them to be specifically for Jefferson, you can make them out to Pecan, make the checks out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, again, P-E-C-A-N, mail it to the same address. The P.O. Box 751, Palisadero 96073. And then when you're writing the check out, in the memo portion of the check, bottom left-hand portion on all checks, write in there the court case. Sorry about that, SOJ court case. Because Pecan is a 501c3 that allows us to use it legally. And if you want it donated, your donation to be tax deductible, you can make it out to, again, Pecan, and then in the lower portion, put SOJ and put court case on there. And that would be very much appreciated because we are in the heat of the battle as far as paying our bills and stuff, and because there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes with legal teams and all the costs that come into playing, that play out as far as the expense of a court case being put together and moving forward. And there's a lot of expense there, and so we're just trying to make sure that we're doing everything right, keeping it clean, and being timely on that.
So we have Janet Chandler on the line and Mark Baird. We're talking about representation. We're talking about how Articles the First, that was basically the first original 12 amendments. Is that correct, Janet?
That is correct. We didn't start out with just 10. It was 12, and Article the First is called the first because that was the most important. And as Mark said, they limited it to a certain number of people. In fact, they wanted one representative for every 30,000 people to start, and then it would be on a sliding scale. As we got more representatives, it would go up to 40,000 and 50,000, and the top, the absolute maximum, was one representative for every 60,000 people. That was the original proposal.
Holy
which
smoke.
Is so
we
far
we blew that out.
Than
we
what
blew
we
out.
Have now at any level. But even the founding fathers realized that one representative cannot serve more than 60,000 people maximum.
Wow. You know, and when you look at this, you're talking about representatives for the United States government, okay, which could have a little more, arguably could have a little more latitude and flexibility than we should actually have in the state. Mark, what was the original benchmark for the state of California when it came to representation?
The original benchmark was one assemblyman for every 2,500 and one state senator for every 6,000. There was only one county in the original state of California that didn't have a representative, and I believe that was San Luis Obispo County. And there were so few people that actually lived there that the Santa Barbara senator made the promise, well, as I ride through San Luis Obispo on my way to Sacramento, I'll ask people there what they want. So your representation was so close to the people that a guy on horseback would stop by on his way to the legislature and see where your thoughts were and what your passion was and what you wanted and what you needed. And let me tell you, they don't care what you want and what you need. We've had representatives make public statements that they never have face-to-face meetings with constituents. So we've gone a ways from there, and Article the First was one way to put the train back on the track, but the subterfuge and the backdoor dealing and the underhanded criminal activity of federal government ensured that that case will probably never see the light of day. And the fact that it would upset the apple cart, let's think, we have 340 million people in the United States. Divide that by 60,000, how many congressmen would that be? It would be a lot more than 435, and they'd have to get a new phone system, and they'd need a bigger building, and that's what we propose in California. What we want is what the founders of this state intended, so that the voice of the people would be transmitted through their representatives in Sacramento, so that legislation, any legislation enacted, would be for the benefit of the people and not the government. And right now, legislation is benefits the government. You know, they use subterfuge and criminal activity to reword the gas tax repeal so that people stupidly, who don't read the proposition, voted to increase their own taxes. I mean, you know, what more evidence do you want than someone who can come to your property and take it without due process under the auspices of state law? What more do you want than a reality check when the state government decides that the transgender lifestyle is a good subject to teach first graders? I mean, would you ever, as a parent, stand for that? Would you, as an individual, think that's a good idea? I mean, transgenders are less than 1% of the population of this state, and it's a mental disease. It's called gender dysphoria. So why on earth would I, as a parent, want my child learning that a gay lifestyle is the way to go in first grade? And the answer to that is I wouldn't, and the vast majority of people in California wouldn't. Why would individuals in California think it's important to allow anyone that wants to just sneak into this country and then receive public services on the taxpayer's nickel and be exempt from prosecution for committing a crime? Well, 80% of the people in the state don't think it's a good idea, yet it is still the law. Why is that? Because you don't have any representation and you are not doing anything about it.
Well, I think that, and that's the whole issue on the court case. I mean, it's something real. There's been some talk about this new California business, and there's, 55 counties out of 58. They're still going to have 30 million people. But I think that the scheme of that is that they're going to wait for California to collapse, and I guess, according to the leaders of that movement, they've got $25 billion or something. They're going to just walk in and take over the state house and say, hey, guys, you guys are out of here and we're in. Oh, by the way, all our state senators are self-appointed. I can't remember voting for a state senator or an assemblyman for the,
I don't spend too much time on that because that's literally the dumbest thing
I've ever heard. It is, but people are swallowing that.
Well, then people that swallow that should be ashamed of themselves, and I can't help them, and I can't fix them. But we are doing something real, and that is we have pursued redress of grievance through two legitimate branches of government. We're now pursuing redress of grievance in the third because the first two refused to hear our claim and ignored us completely, which representative government. That shouldn't happen, right? We had adequate representation. And so we're pursuing claims in the third for redress in the third branch of government. If we fail in that, we're going to need to seek self-help because that's the only other remedy.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and what we're going to do is going to bring you both back, and we're going to have a series of things. Maybe you two can chit-chat about it, but we want to continue on talking about this representation issue, the push for it, and the understandings that folks understand that the push for representation is for the state of Jefferson. We cannot have adequate representation in a state this size. It's just impossible, period, end of sentence. Now, Janet, my dear, I'm going to give you the last word
my
here.
My final comment is, remember, the founding fathers envisioned that the powers would be few for the federal government, and therefore representation was not as vital as it was going to be at the state level where the powers were many. And that's why they were willing to put up with 30, 40, 50,000 people per representative. At the state level, it has to be closer because that's where the true power of the people lies.
Amen, sister.
Well,
amen.
But, and of course, we have a little thing called counties and all that good stuff. So, Mark, we have about 40 seconds left, my good friend. You both have been wonderful guests. We're going to continue on with this and expand on this. And Mark, what say you, sir?
Well, I'm just going to repeat something I read somewhere, and I'm paraphrasing. In the sacred cause of liberty, we pledge to one another our blood, our treasure, and our sacred honor. And I'm just asking a question. Does anybody out there have a line in the sand? If you do, what is it? And what are you willing to do to secure liberty for your posterity?
Amen. Thank you both very much.
Thank you both very much. And we're going to do this a couple of more times. And again, folks, mail those checks into the court case. We certainly need the money. We need to push ahead. And we are on the winning side of this deal. Time has come.
For 51.
In a Jefferson state of mind. Don't know us, you have no clue.
news from 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.